All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Neil Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper heading.
And a very good time of the day to you joining us now today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It always feels beautiful. It always feels great to have you around, to know that you are listening. Welcome to the show. This is The Void Show, and we are on Active FM. As all of us keep saying, radio has never been better. My name is Andrew, and I am your show host. I'm really excited, and I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be discussing today. I'm hoping you are, as much as I am. I really hope you had a great week and you were just looking forward to see what we're having in studio today, right? To see what we're going to be discussing for you today, to see what you're going to be learning after the show today. And if this is your first time, welcome to the family. Welcome to The Void Show. This is a Void Show, right? I repeat, it's a family of great people who are willing to learn new things every week, every day. It's the only show that really allows you to make your way through the deep space. You surely have seen what we're discussing today, the dawn of the astronomical knowledge. Ooh. Now, in a world where you don't have to think for what you will know, hey? In a world where you don't have to think about what you want to know, I mean, literally, in these modern times, if you want to know something, within a blink of an eye, with a few clicks on your phone, you know it. Hey? So, you don't really have to think about what you want to know first, right? Maybe you might even think about it for a moment after you've known about it. Hey? Which is okay, right? It's okay. But the point is, we live in a world where we don't really think about things we want to know. It even goes to a point where the only thinking that you actually do is the one of taking out your phone, right? And you are like, okay, I just want to search it on Google or something. That's really the only thinking that you, well, we do most of the time, okay? So we live in a world where there are people who are sort of placed in the pinnacle of thinking. They do the thinking. And after they've done their thinking, they just sort of, you know, write it out down and just plug it in on the internet. And the rest of the world, if they want to know anything, they just have to go to the Google, they just have to go to the search engines and, you know, search that, and they know it. Okay? So we've got people who do the thinking for us, for what we want to know. And if you just want to know it, you go there. I don't know what you're thinking, but today what we're going to be doing is go back all the way back in time, right? We're going to take this adventurous journey to go all the way back in time to the early centuries, and we're going to see how these people lived their lives. That's what we're going to see. And, you know, we cannot deny that in those ages, thinking for them was indispensable. They had to think to make their lives easy, right? To better their lives, right? They had to think about things. They had to think on, oh, how can I utilize this? How can I use these stones? How can I use the stars? How can I use water to make? How can I use sand to? They thought for what they wanted to do, right? They thought about what they wanted to do. They thought about how they could make their lives better, right? And for me, those are the real geniuses, hey? In the modern world, if you can just think for yourself for a moment and discover something or really make a great thinking, I mean, you are considered a genius in the modern world, hey? If you can just think, perhaps that's even one of the greatest achievements one could ever do in their lifetime, right? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go all the way back to really, you know, have a guide in their minds. How did they really think? And we're obviously going to be speaking a lot about what their thinking produced, right? Which is the evidence of their thinking, right? What you can see, what they did, right? So we're going to be speaking about that, and you definitely want to be here. We're going to be having a great show, and I don't know, who knows? Maybe you might just find a secret to being a genius.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
On your favorite ORSPS.
Yes, your favorite online radio station podcasting service.
That was in brackets. Active FM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Mr. Gentleman,
the one and only.
Yeah, the one and only. Yes. So he always talks about the Lady Moon. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Active FM radio has never been better.
The dawn of the astronomical knowledge. Now, here's the thing. You see, astronomy is one of the oldest science to ever exist. Okay? All right? It's one of the oldest science to ever exist in the world. It could even be in the universe, right? I guess that would make much more sense because it is the study of the universe. So why not, right? it could even be the very first science to ever exist in the universe, eh? Because I mean, way back, astronomy was just simple. It was just to gaze the sky, right? Predict when stars would rise. So way back then, it was a simple astronomy, and you know, I'd want to believe that it began when the very first people looked up in the night sky or even the day sky and they started to ask deep questions about the mysteries of the universe. They started to feed their curiosity. They started to be driven by their curiosity. You know, their questions were driven by wonder. Their questions were driven by what they saw. And as time went by, as they found answers to those questions, that's simply how astronomy began. Hey, that's simply how it is. And it's just amazing to even start to see on how this simple astronomy intertwined itself with the daily activities of our ancient people. Hey, like they depended on it to know the times. They depended on it to know the calendar. They depended on it to know the seasons. And we're going to be speaking about that. But it's just incredible because all this came from how they thought, came from what they thought, you know, came from what they did. Right, there are so many monuments, and obviously this way back was just simple astronomy. Okay, obviously now when we're speaking about astronomy, it could even, I mean, it's obviously much more complicated than it was in the past. Right now, there's this complicated equations, mathematics, and stuff that sort of seem to be describing the universe. You know, there's computers there, programming, a lot of programming, astrophysics. You know. You name them, cosmology, you know, physics. It's much more complicated than it was in the past, right? And obviously that's because of a change that has been happening. We really embrace change, okay? We love change. That's why that's the case. But you know, way back in time, simple astronomy was very key to how people back in time lived. And there are so many monuments for this, right? Built monuments for this. One popular example of this, well, there are actually a lot. I mean, like about 50 of them that are known to be monuments of that were built by, you know, the native people back in time. Some of them are really considered to be sort of astronomical monuments, right? And of course, you would know one popular one. It's the Stonehenge in England, right? The Stonehenge in England. And do you know the Stonehenge? Have you seen the Stonehenge? You better check it out. Just go type it out on Google and you would know it, right? I'm just teasing. But you should really check out the Stonehenge, you know. It's really big. It's very, very big. I've read somewhere that each stone is approximately 25 tons or, you know, about 23 metric tons. And that's pretty huge. I mean, each stone, about that size, you know, one ton is roughly 900 kilograms. So 25 tons, that would be about, 24,000 or 23,000 kilograms. Just one stone. Imagine how that big is, you know, imagine how big that is. And of course it was built way back in time, eh? Now the thing is, nobody knows who built the Stonehenge, eh? Nobody knows who built the Stonehenge and nobody knows why it was built. I've heard a lot of people saying it was built for astronomical calendar, you know, when would the sun would rise and when the sun would set. And that's because, well, actually, when they start to sort of analyze the Stonehenge for the past few years, they see that certain pairs of stones, depending on where you're standing and stuff like that, in the Stonehenge, of course, we're speaking about it, they actually align with some points on the horizon where the sun would rise and where the sun would set, right? But obviously that's not every day. It's on special dates, hey? It's on special dates. And so that's why they say maybe it was built for astronomical calendar, right? And so those are some of the evidence that, you know, astronomy has been a vital and important key in what our ancestors or our early people did. And, you know, everybody in the world contributed to this, right? It's not good, or it's not even fair to say people in the West or people in the East did this. Everybody in the world really contributed to the astronomy that we know today. There's African astronomy, where you search about the history of African astronomy, what really happened and stuff like that. There's really great things that they did that contributed to how we know the universe today. And we're going to be speaking about African astronomy in the future. Really, really interesting. You know, a simple astronomy played important role in the past because we look at what they did and you start to see that some ancient people used the motion of stars, the motion of planets across the heavens for religious purposes, you know, for cultural purposes, for traditional purposes. And some of them even used the motion of stars for growing seasons. And I love what Egyptians did, right? We're going to be speaking about what they did. So it was important for these people to know the times, for example, right? Sort of jumping everywhere. But for example, the Nile River, right? It's known to be like probably the second or the first longest river in the world. You find it there in Egypt, okay? It was very important for old Egyptians to actually know the pre-dawn rising times of certain bright stars, okay? And what we mean by that, we mean it was important for them to know the times that certain stars rise before sunset, okay? Certain bright stars, right? It was important for them to know that. If you have given yourself enough time to actually observe the universe, or to actually observe the motion of stars, you know, doesn't really matter when you observe them. But if you've given yourself enough time to observe how stars move along the sky, you would see that we don't see same stars throughout the year in the sky. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we don't see the same stars, right? If you're going to go outside tonight and you look in a certain area, you look those stars, 6 months later, you're not going to see those stars there. Try that. That's a challenge for you today. Try that. Go out today, tonight, look at a certain region of the sky, right? And note down the kind of stars that you see. You can even take a picture or something. Note them down. There's so many applications for tracking down the sky, right? Note down the kind of patterns of stars that you see. Come back 3 months later, come back 6 months later. You're not going to see them there. They could even be on the other side, right? They could even be on the other side. So it's like this. Stars that we see this month during the night are actually going to be the stars that are on the day side of Earth 6 months later when it's your nighttime, right? Probably doesn't make sense. But yeah, that's because Earth is a sphere and it's revolving around the sun. So 6 months later, it's on the opposite side, right? So we see different stars, okay? 6 months later, you see different stars than when you did on the first month, right? Obviously, 1 year later, you are back at the same point. So you see same stars. But 6 months later, it's different kind of stars that you see in the night sky, right? When you 1 year later, it's the same stars again. You get that? That's pretty much how it works. So it was very important for these Egyptian guys back in time to note down the times, the pre-dawn times of you know, the pre-dawn rising times of certain stars, certain bright stars. In other words, they noted them down. Do you know why? That's because those stars, they helped them in predicting when the Nile River was going to be flooding. And if it meant that the Nile River was going to be flooding, that meant for them, then we probably have to fertilize our land, our crops. Get it ready because the rain is coming, eh? That's how it helped them. They discovered that because you would know before the sun. I mean, everything is moving in the heavens, right? So even before the sun rises, there are stars that are still rising, okay, in the horizon. There are stars that are still rising. So they used the star, one of the brightest star in our observable universe, which is Sirius. They used that star. They dotted the times when it first appears in the early morning sky, right? It's usually called the helical rising. They dotted down the times of that, and they knew that when Sirius is going to be rising in the early morning sky, then flooding is coming, okay? Flooding is coming, right? And obviously, that's going to happen annually, and it helped them sort of fertilize their land, get them ready for the rain and stuff like that. And it even helped them to accurately predict the length of the air to 365 days, right? To accurately do that, because they knew when they would see the bright star rising before the sun, it only happens once a year, right? They would dot the times, right? They would know the times, and using that, because it kept repeating, you know, periodically every year, then from there they counted and they predicted the length of the year, which is 365 days. So that was pretty ingenuine. Hey, that was pretty ingenuine. So I think we need a song now, and I hope you've been enjoying the show. Let's play Show Me How to Love. And right after this, we'll be speaking more about the dawn of knowledge. Enjoy.
Your knowledge has no bounds. It's you my hope is found in. My foundation is sound. Sin.
Show me how to love playing on a radio station. It is Active FM. Thank you so much for still being here. If you are still here, it means you are loving what we're speaking about. It means you are learning a lot more about how the early sky watchers, probably the very first person to be on Earth, right? Well, the sky watcher. So I'm sure you did really see or hear or learn a lot about how they really used the sky, the stars, to sort of predict rainfall patterns, you know, to sort of predict the seasons, the times, how many days does a year have. That's pretty genuine. Hey, really, really, really cool stuff. That's why I'm saying those people are my geniuses, you know. I want to be like them. So it was really important for them to know, days like that, your solstices, your equinoxes, you know, your solstices would be the first days of summer and winter, and your equinoxes would actually be the first day of spring and fall, right? So it was really important for them to do that, because they could then predict some of the phenomena or the rainfall patterns and stuff like that. So that's what we spoke about. This is the Void Show on Active FM. As all of us keep saying, radio has never been better. Now, you know, I don't know if you've heard about Babylonians. Have you heard about Babylonians? Babylonians, right? Have you heard about Babylonians and the Mayans? I've read quite a huge history about them, about some of the things they did. You know, I did see that they were pretty mathematically advanced people, right? Because they actually plotted the positions of the planet. You know the planet Venus, right? It's actually one of the brightest planets, right? When you actually see them across the sky, you find that the Babylonians and your Mayans, they actually got to, and this is way back, man. I mean, this is like way back. You know, they thought about these things using mathematics that existed in those times, you know, probably like not complicated as it is now, you know, but they could do this. Okay. It's the same as people who went to the moon, the Apollo 11 mission. Hey, and I mean, we've heard sad news, a few days ago about the passing of Michael, you know, the astronaut who actually went to the moon with your Neil Armstrong and your Buzz Aldrin, right? He passed away a few days ago. And really, the Void Show does share the deep condolences. If you go on a page, you'd see him. I've seen some, you know, yeah, I mean, of course, he passed away. So really deep condolences for that. It's pretty much like that. You know, when they went to the moon, they didn't even have much technology as we have now. You know, I mean, the one that you have in your computer, the building material, they didn't have that. But they went to the moon. Okay? It's pretty genius. So the Mayans and your Babylonians, they were able to actually plot the position of the planet Venus, right, in different times, and they could even predict the solar and lunar eclipses. Hey, they could even predict that. And, you know, there's a very great and a funny story that I'm not going to share with you now, but I'm going to share with you hopefully next week about how, you know, these early people. So those who were sort of scientifically literate, they could, you know, when the solar eclipse is going to happen, I mean, the sun is going to sort of get dark and stuff like that. The moon is going to be red. So there were people in the past who used these. I mean, those who knew what was happening, there were those that used it to actually scare the other people or to scare their community. And they were like, hey, my God is going to be angry and you know, they're going to make the moon red, because they knew, right? They had predicted this stuff. And I mean, if you don't do that for me, the moon is going to get red, and that's my God that's going to be angry. You know, I mean, if you don't do this to me, the sun is going to turn dark, and that's my God, you know, they're angry because you don't do this for me. And I mean, a few days later, the people of the village, they see the sun getting dark and they get frightened, and they're like, oh, take everything. So you see, not all this knowledge was sort of used to make the lives of others better, but sometimes it was, what do you call it, exploitation. Is that the word? Yeah, to, you know, to frighten other people you know, with your knowledge and actually what gain and they lose, right? That was it. Right. So the point that we're getting is that your Mayans and your Babylonians, who actually, and some of them, they lived in Mexico. You actually see that they lived in Mexico peninsula, right? So you check many of their buildings, they were actually aligned with many features. I mean, their buildings and cities, a lot of them are aligned with some of the astronomical phenomena that would happen. So what we really do get is that even the Mayans, hey, they were extremely sophisticated people in sort of predicting the eclipses and the positions of Venus and stuff. So that's pretty much it for today. And I really hope you learned a lot of stuff, right, about how the early people lived. There's a lot that goes behind this. I mean, there's way more story to tell. I believe it could, you know, speak the whole day. But that's pretty much it for today. And next week, we're going to be speaking about something that's more interesting as well. Remember, we still want to learn more about Einstein. And I mean, we're really waiting for that. So right after this, one last important thing. And that's it.
Right here on Active FM, we're bringing to you...
Okay, bedtime.
Reactive.
Vocalist on Reactive, but most of y'all know me as a guitar player because that is all they let me do on Reactive. Reactive is more than just a band. We are a movement of young people that are causing revival, bringing young people to Jesus, redefining what people see as cool, because we are cool kids in Christ and we are dominating, taking over the airwaves and giving you guys the best music. You need to check it out because you wouldn't even believe me even if I told you.
And apparently we have just reached the end of the Void show. Thank you so much for having listened to us, and I really hope you did really enjoy the show. We were speaking about the early sky watchers. We're speaking about the dawn of the astronomical knowledge, how did it really intertwine itself with the daily lifestyle of our ancient people, right? And we did really see that it was very useful, and it still is useful in the modern world, right? So I really hope that you enjoyed the show. Do share with us your thoughts. Please do share out the show. And all the love from Active FM. See you next time. Same week. Not same week. What are you saying? See you next week. Bye.
Like what you're listening to? Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM. Instagram at ActiveFM777 and Facebook at /ActiveFM.